Programming sponsored by Charity Mobile. Life is calling. Take it with you. More information at charitymobile.com.
The abortion movement has covered itself broadly and successfully under the mantle of choice, but most women don't feel that they have one. The pro-life movement works comprehensively to give women many choices, and that includes adoption. But there are more choices for life as well, and a good, happy family life and culture that supports it. I'm Sheila Logminas. Time for a closer look. Welcome to the program. I'm glad you're there. Many of you have adopted. You have adopted maybe just recently or a long time ago and now enjoy a burgeoning family life. Some of you don't know what options there are for adoption or another very important way to support children and families, and that's foster care. They get too little attention, but that's changing now too. Thanks be to God. And thanks to champions like those who join me today for an important roundtable. Number here is 888-914-9149. If you have adoption questions, foster care questions, some of you have written to me after these women have been on the program and asked me how to reach them. You've written me about what we said in these conversations, about what you can do in your parish. They're here to remind you today. 888-914-9149. Roundtable starts with Catherine Jean Lopez and Lisa Wheeler. Catherine is editor-at-large of National Review Online, senior fellow of the National Review Institute's Center for Religion, Culture, and Civil Society, and founding director of Catholic Voices USA. Catherine, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're always doing so much. I'm glad you stopped long enough to come in because we have an important roundtable today with Lisa Wheeler coming up in a little while. Elizabeth Kirk's going to join us. Lisa's here as the founder and president of Carmel Communications. She began her career in broadcast journalism, network television productions, done way too much to fit in here right now because we want to get right to the conversation. But she and her husband, Timothy, are the parents if I have this right, Lisa, beautiful 5-year-old daughter who they adopted from foster care. She's probably 6 or 7 by now. I got to update my bio. And they also have other foster children, 2 and under, who they pray for and care for every day. Is that the right bio?
It's actually a little bit off. So my
that's what I thought.
She's actually turning 10 tomorrow.
Wow, and, am I out of date?
And then we have a 6-year-old boy who we've adopted from foster care as well, who's turning 7 in December. And then we have a sibling group of 3 boys who have been with us for almost 3 years, and they're still currently in foster care. But the way that things have been moving the last several months, you know, we have it all in God's hands. It is what it is supposed to be, but we expect that to be moving in the adoption direction as well. So,
First of all, Catherine, I want to jump right back on what Lisa just said and follow up with the questions I know that just jump right into people's minds, many people, about foster care and then even adoption. But Catherine, we want to let people know early and often that those of our friends who are listening in the greater metropolitan New York City area, you have a big event tomorrow. It's called Foster Care, Adoption, and Religious Communities, that people can still sign up for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The doors open at 6:30. It's in Midtown on the east side. I think it's like 56th and 3rd. The TICFA fund is hosting, giving us the space for it. And it's a conversation with an adoptive mom who's Jewish, and Naomi Riley, who's at the American Enterprise Institute, who's been doing a lot of writing and research about foster care and adoption. And I'm really excited. We have a lot of foster and adoptive parents who are going to be in the audience. So I really expect the night to be an interactive one with everybody. Please, and wherever you are, whether you have experience with adoption, foster care, whether you're curious, whether you just realize I know nothing about this and maybe I should, because this is a crisis in our country. Please, everybody is welcome. Jews and Catholics and other Christians, and it's going to be a big old tent full of people who just care about the welfare of children and feel the urgent need. And I have to interrupt to ask Lisa a question. Now, that 10-year-old who has a birthday tomorrow, is she the one who asked for money for her birthday so that she could help children in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, she is. She, ever since, you know, she came to us through foster care just after her third birthday, and we have had a dialogue with her since the very beginning, a very open dialogue, obviously, about adoption, considering that that would become her reality within a couple of years. And so she learned very early on that there are mothers who cannot keep their children for various reasons, as well as there are mothers out there who do not want to keep their babies after they give birth to them. And so it was laid on her heart from a very young age that she really wants to help, particularly women who cannot keep their babies for whatever reason. And so she's had it stuck in her head since she was about 4.5, 5 years old that one day she would like to be able to help the poor, and particularly women who find themselves in a situation where they can't care for their own children. So,
Wow.
So that's mm-hmm. definitely, I think, a wonderful joy that has come out of the tragedy of children who have become part of the foster care system and do have to rebuild their lives in families that are not their family of origin, but they learn to love the circumstances from which they come from, and they learn hopefully early on, you know, how they can be a voice, you know, in this crisis, and you know, in ways that they can help others. So yeah, so she asked me, you know, can I please start, you know, asking for donations, basically, from her parents first, towards this cause of being able to build a home one day for mothers and unwanted children, as she
puts
it.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
And so busy. Imagine down the line with more maturity what that's going to develop into. That's just amazing. Mm. Because she doesn't have the luxury of looking away from this, you know? God bless you. Gosh. God bless her.
Lisa, when I saw that on Facebook, when you posted that, of course, you're thinking your friends are looking at this, and you know everybody is because you're in communications and you know how that works. But I had Catherine's response. It was just grinning ear to ear because just the way you communicate things. So you say, you know, me, asking your daughter, so what would you like for your birthday? And then your daughter, I forget how much money she asked for, but she asked for money. And then you show an eye roll, like emoticon for an eye roll. Yeah, sure. And she says, well, and this just like melted my heart. She said something to the degree, well, Mom, I'm 10 years old. And if I start now saving up all this money to build a home someday for mothers, for their babies, for babies to come to a home, my heart started melting before I finished reading that. She said, then I'll have enough money or have at least enough to get started on that. And I felt as Catherine did. This really happened. We both know your daughter said that, but it's so good to get this out over the airwaves so people coast to coast can know that what you just said, Lisa Wheeler, is true. That the children, oh, how poignant, that the children who've come out of situations where they have been given life, but they haven't been able to stay with the birth mother for whatever reason, that they can find joy out of tragedy, as you said, and learn to love the circumstances they come from and be a part of the solution in the future for other children who come after them to have a home and to have love as they have learned to have. So she's very young to know that, but wow, what a job you've done with her and the others.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't think people realize that, children who come from such an incredible loss as that connection to their birth family, for many of them, they carry that with us. And their birthdays are really difficult times for them, even mm-hmm. when they're very young, because they recognize that this is not their original family. And so all of those questions that they ask, or that in their minds they're questioning, you know, why couldn't my parents keep me? You know, what were the reasons why, you know, in my daughter's case, that you know, her mother couldn't get over her addiction and be able to care for her and you know, live a safe and healthy life with her child. So those questions come up. And I try very, very hard, my husband and I both, to honor her family of origin and to honor her mother. We celebrate her birthday every year. And there's other times during the year where we give honor to her for choosing life. Elizabeth's mother was a much older woman when she became pregnant with her. And the fact that she, even in her brokenness, was able to choose life is something to celebrate. And so that's something that we've tried to really concentrate on, that hope for her, so that it's mm-hmm. not so difficult every year when the birthday comes around and those questions surface.
It sounds like you've thought of everything. I know both of you have done a lot of panels. Catherine, you and Lisa Wheeler together have done them in Washington, let's say, last May, after the morning of, in fact, the day of, the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. Then you held a panel discussion, and then I know there were a number of people there, very tired as a lot of us were. I know I was just barely moving on that day because it just had been a whirlwind of things happening, but I had to get to your panel. And there was so much going on in the discussion of that. And you've held them elsewhere. You've held them all over the place. And I know last time you were both on, we had Kathleen Domingo from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, what they were doing there on this topic. So I'm not only getting the sense, I have the direct knowledge that this is generating a lot, you all are generating a lot more awareness around the country. For either one of you to answer, Catherine, maybe, you know, you've set these up a lot. I know this is an important topic close to your heart. So start with, I guess, with that question. Why did you take this up as something very important to you to keep generating, even though we're in, what is this, National Adoption Month? We're bringing together always foster care and adoption, and to continue generating this in any way you can. That's the first part of the question. And what kind of reaction are you getting from it? Response are you getting from it?
Well, I was really frustrated that we only seem to pay any attention to foster care and adoption, those of us who aren't adoptive or foster parents, when there's some outrageous story in the news or when there's some political clash over, say, same-sex marriage or placement or Catholic Charities gets out of, because of a clash with the law, gets out of the adoption business. What about all the other stories? What about the children who are in need of foster parents? What about the children stuck in the system? What about the families who are stepping up to the plate and don't have the proper support, whether it's mental health support or just basic human support? You know, I know one woman who has resources and is more knowledgeable than most people who step up to the plate. She's got four teenagers in her house who are all adopted out of foster care, and they all have major trauma issues. Like, on a given week, two of them might wind up back in a psychiatric hospital. They, again, have the resources, but even she has expressed to me that she feels completely alone in her church community because nobody else is an adoptive parent. Nobody else knows anything about foster care. So they sort of look at her and her husband as, well, gosh, there's probably a mix of they're saints and they're crazy to have taken this on. And so there's no just sort of people bringing over food, people saying, why don't you and your husband go out for tonight, you know, none of that. And so one of the things that I've been trying to emphasize to people is not every single person, obviously, is called to foster care or adoption, or foster care with an openness to adoption. But for Pete's sake, everybody has a role to play in this. And I'd also add, a heck of a lot more people than realize are called to this. It's a simple matter of praying about it, getting informed about it, meeting some people who are doing it, hearing some stories like Lisa's, and realizing that these kids don't have any time, you know? So we can't be sitting around waiting for the ideal scenarios and all of the rest, because these kids need a chance, right? And being stuck in foster care is not a chance. as statistics play out about the number of kids who wind up in jail. And so anyway, the other thing, and this was a big focus of the National Review Institute Forum in May that you mentioned, this has got to be, if you call yourself pro-life, this has got to be a priority. If you talk about abortion, you should talk just as much about adoption, because this is, you know, a serious alternative for people that is not explored, and the education isn't there and the support isn't there. So that's why. And, you know, I am still a little frustrated because some of the reaction still is, oh, well, they're saints. And, yeah, Lisa is a saint. Lisa and her husband, but...
Yeah, I think so, too.
We're all called to that, right? So that doesn't let you off by saying, Amen. Oh, well, they do our things, you know? Yeah, we're all supposed to do our things. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done here.
Well, there is, and you're doing your share, Catherine Lopez. You're doing a yeoman's share. Lisa, what about the idea that a lot of people have, wow, foster care, that's just something I just could not do. Talk about that, because you probably get that a lot. And you're so exemplary just on Facebook alone, the stories you tell about being with your children, what's going on in your home and family, your very happy family with lots of liveliness. Talk about the question you probably get often, and our listeners right now coast to coast are wondering, how do you do that? How do you take a child into your home as a foster family? So it's one thing to adopt, and a lot of people need help even thinking that one through. You are both. You've adopted, and you're a foster care home, your family. And so as a foster family and also a family who adopted, you can speak to both. But do people grapple harder with being a foster parent than they do with adoption? Do they grapple with both? What kind of questions do you get?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that adoption can still be very much a stigma in society. A quick story that happened to me just within this year is a family who are actually, you know, really good friends of ours, who have journeyed with us through our infertility you know, period in our lives, and who journeyed with us through our discernment over whether or not we would become adoptive parents, and then the decision to pursue that way to build our family through foster care adoption, and knowing a lot of the struggles that we have with, you know, our own children. Even though my children are young, we deal with a lot of the same issues that, you know, Catherine was just citing as it relates to adolescence. But, you know, there's a lot of trauma issues with younger children as well, depending on the circumstances. And, you know, this family on Facebook, the mother posted in a very joking way this conversation that she had with her young son, you know, 9-year-old son, in which he drew a card for her on Mother's Day. And the card basically said, you know, "I love you, Mom. Thanks for not giving me up for adoption." And she was laughing on Facebook about the fact that that her son was, you know, sort of kind of joking about adoption in this way. And it really the people that were reading the comments were laughing too. There was lots of, you know, LOL faces and things like that. And it really struck me that we really are still, even with the people that we know that are supposedly our friends and our family members, there's still such a lack of care given to the words that we use around the adoption issue and how those words affect the children that are involved, you know. And there's so many different kinds of stories like that. You know, if my child could read and was on Facebook and saw her peer, her friend, make a comment to his mother about, "Thanks for not giving me up for adoption," like it's something horrible, how that would make her feel. It just, it really saddened me that we still can't have, you know, conversations about the goodness that comes from, you know, through the adoption decisions that we make, whether it's, you know, because of people like myself who suffered through infertility but desired to have children and chose that route, or whether, you know, there are people who, you know, choose to become an adoptive parent because they want to help. They want to give a child a home that that can't have one for whatever, you know, circumstance has led them to be within the foster care system. So I think really, for me, one of the parts of the passion around adoption and foster care for me has become helping people change the way we talk about adoption and foster mm-hmm. care in a way
yes.
that shows that it's a you know, it's something positive to share, and it's something that we need to be talking to our children about in a way that doesn't make it seem like you know, being adopted is a negative thing.
I'm sorry, I don't want to step on you there, but to just jump in on that, it occurs to me, Lisa, listening to you say that you know, this is what we're all about. We are Catholic. We have to be building up our parishes. We have to be building up our communities. We have to be building up our neighborhoods. And to Catherine's point, that we all have a stake in this. We all actually have a role in this. If you think, you know, for whatever my personal profile is in life, I'm just not one who can or even can think about foster care or adoption. However, communally, think about the Christian communities of the earliest days through now. We all can, what Lisa just said, change the language. So that's one thing, change the language. But the other thing is, by for goodness sakes, for crying out loud, and by all means, start to use the language. Start to talk about adoption. Start to talk about foster care. The more people hear it, it's like water, you know, coming down as rain, and then the more it comes down, it saturates the ground, it soaks in, and it nourishes it, and it grows. And that's, if we use the language, if we talk about these options as if people are hearing them more often, as if it's sort of an everyday thing, then people are going to come to embrace it. Those who are going to need to know more about it are going to learn more about it, and then become a family when they otherwise weren't, didn't have children. Others who can be foster families will enter into that and say, you know, I can do this. Others, as you have said before, in parishes can reach out, as you just brought up earlier, help the family who is a foster family, who might need a night out, the husband and wife, and then you can, as the community, help out. Don't want to riff here, but I mean, you put me on a riff by thinking of this. We can do this. We can not only change the language, but we can start to put it in our conversations and talk more about adoption and foster care so that children don't hear the other stuff, they hear the good, and they realize whether it's them, their friends, someone they see on Facebook. Yeah, that's, you know, talk about diversity. We have a lot of children in different types of situations, the way their parents are in different types of situations. Sorry. So to that point, Lisa, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you made me really think that needs to generate conversations, that needs to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, part of my point on all of that is when there are those types of conversations still happening, it makes the rest of the community attach themselves to, you know, looking at adoption as it's, you know, a last resort, or, you know, something that only, you know, the quote unquote saints do, or, you know, something that not an average family, you know, would choose to do. And that's, we need to get away from that. There's one of my favorite quotes, and I actually just posted it I think yesterday on my Facebook page, is the quote that says, you know, God knew that it doesn't matter how your children get to your family, it just matters that they get there. And mm-hmm. and I would really like to see us equalizing more in our conversations the fact that, you know, children are a blessing, and whether they come to us biologically or through, you know, the supernatural gift of adoption, then it's the same. And every family should discern, you know, how they can be a caretaker of the modern day orphans of the world. You know, it's I think something that especially every Catholic family needs mm-hmm. to really consider, whether they have one child or 10 children. Mm-hmm. It's a calling that it's not only biblical, but it's, you know, it's very much a part of what needs to be, as Catherine alluded to, our pro-life conversation. You know, if we're going to be fully pro-life, we need to be talking about adoption.
And this is exactly what you're both doing. And at National Review, I've got posted the article Lisa Wheeler did called Pro-Life Should Include Foster Care Too, because babies saved before they're born need care afterwards, and we can help. That's why we're here today with this roundtable. You are a part of this conversation. 888-914-9149. Roundtable on Adoption and Foster Care will continue.